Welcome to a live stream of a very special edition of the Your Next Mission video podcast. What we now know as the U.S. Army was formed 247 years ago on June 14, 1775. So today, we celebrate the Army's birthday and the millions of men and women who have served and continue to serve. Today's live stream is proudly brought to you by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, veterans and families, and welcome to a special live Your Next Mission podcast as we celebrate the Army's 247th year birthday. And to help me celebrate, I'm so excited to introduce the 40th and current Chief of Staff of the Army, General James C. McConville, and the Sergeant Major of the Army's Executive Officer, Sergeant Major Charles W. Albertson, joining us from the Pentagon. Welcome. So good to have you on the show.
Well, it's great to be here, Sergeant Major. As you said, it's the 247th birthday of the United States Army, and I like it because it's 24/7, and that's what the Army does every single day, is protect this great nation with our great soldiers.
Well, sir, you know, I know the audience, we have a lot of topics we want to cover here. And before we do that, can each one of you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? And sir, would Chief, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll just tell myself, if you didn't notice, I'm from Quincy, Massachusetts, just south of Boston. That's actually where we stood the Army up. And I'm very blessed to be the son of a second-class petty officer in the United States Navy. And you know, that would be a sergeant in today's Army. And he inspired me to serve. And I've had the chance to serve the last 41 years in the Army with the world's greatest soldiers. And, you know, when I look at the Army, what a great place to start. It's a great place to serve. And for me, it's a great place to finish.
You know, I had 36 years. You got me beat by quite a bit right now. Hey, Sergeant Major Alves, how about yourself?
SMA, it's good to be here. First of all, I'd like to just say that SMA Grinston sends his regrets. He wishes he could be here, but asked me to say some things on his behalf. I've been his XO for about 2 years now, and I've certainly gained an appreciation for what this building does and what the Army headquarters does for our soldiers and the military. Prior to that, I was the 18th Airborne Corps and 10th Mountain Division Sergeant Majors and quite a bit of time in the 75th Ranger Regiment. So I've really been able to broaden my horizons up here in the Pentagon.
Well, again, so good to have you on the show. You know, the Army birthday is a very special day for all of us who served. Can each of you tell us a little bit, you know, what the Army's birthday means to you? Chief, start with you.
Yeah, to me, it's a celebration. You know, we cut the cake today. And in fact, we actually started out at Arlington National Cemetery doing a wreath ceremony. And we had a chance to go over there and honor all of our fallen heroes. And we all strive to live up to their legacy every single day. And when we see what this Army is about, you look at this history. The Army's history is America's history. In fact, we were here before the country. And we have extraordinary young men and women doing incredible things every single day to protect this nation. I'm just so proud to serve with them.
Sergeant Major Alverson, same question.
Yes, sir. I think it gives us an opportunity to reflect on the last year and just what the Army has done. And it's really impressive to see, you know, comprehensively everything that the Army does every day, you know, in response to whatever the nation calls us to do. And I think it's also an opportunity to reflect on how honorable it is to serve our nation and the privilege that it is to wear our nation's cloth.
Oh, no question about that. You got me motivated right now. I'm probably going to jump out of this chair. You know, the Army's been extremely busy for the past year, just like the past 246 years. What would you like to, Chief, what would you like to tell the American public that they want them to take away from what the Army's been doing for the last year?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I've found extremely interesting about the Army. We're certainly overseas, you know, reassuring allies and partners like we're doing in Eastern Europe. And I can tell you, I've heard a lot, and we always like to say where soldiers go, freedom follows. But, you know, I had a chance to go over to Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and they are very, very concerned what is happening in Ukraine. And we put American soldiers on the ground over there to reassure them and what they were doing. And I think that really made a difference. It just showed me, you know, how great our soldiers are. But, you know, we've been at home, too. And our National Guard and Reserves are doing incredible things. You know, if you've got a vaccination from COVID, you know, the Army had a lot to do with that. Our doctors, our medical professionals have been going to hospitals. They're standing up alternate health care facilities. Our National Guard is all over the country, almost like a Swiss Army knife, you know, with the driving buses, going to nursing homes, just taking care of the American people. So what we've been doing, and I'm very, very proud of, is protecting the world order around the world. And we're still in Iraq, and we're still in Syria, we're still in Korea, at the same time protecting our citizens at home.
Yeah, a lot of times what I tell people is they really don't know what the Army is doing because they're doing so much. And I, God bless you for what they're doing. And I absolutely love the Army. Sergeant Major, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, SMB, I think it, to the Chief's point, I think it's very easy to forget that we still have soldiers deployed in harm's way in Iraq, Syria, and Africa. We have advisors in 40 different countries across the globe right now. And despite all of that, we have yet to say when we're called that it's too hard or we can't provide. We are ready and we stand ready to support whatever our nation's needs are.
Yeah. Sir, the major priorities of the Army is people, readiness, modernization. And I know you're going to love this question. What does people mean to you?
Well, you know, people are our greatest strength. They're our most important weapon system. And we say people first in the Army, and we certainly mean soldiers. And we mean soldiers from all three components, our regular Army, our National Guard, and Reserve. We also mean families, because we enlist soldiers, but we retain families. And so we really appreciate what our families do every single day to support our soldiers. We really appreciate our Department of the Army civilians. And the other thing that's really important for us is our soldiers for life. Those who serve, those who are retired, soldiers for life, like Sergeant Major that just talked to me. And I have to give them two missions. You know, what I ask my soldiers for life to do is to do two things, inspire and hire. Inspire other young men and women to serve, and we need that help, and we want to get the greatest people to come in the Army and hire our vets when they come out. And so those are the two things we're giving you all.
Well, you know, what I always tell people, you know, the Army changed my life, and it saved my life, because I absolutely love the Army. And if you're listening to the show today and you haven't served, you ought to serve, for first of all, because it's a great profession. Sergeant Major, concerning modernization, what do soldiers have to look forward to in the upcoming years?
SMA, I think right now we're attempting to try to modernize an Army that we haven't been able to do in over 40 years, or we haven't taken the time to do. And I think, you know, as we have the new squad weapon, next generation squad weapon, and the E3B, we're making changes in the weapon systems and our training platforms in order to make our soldiers better.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny when you talk about change in the transition. I came in the Army, I had an M14. I left the Army, they had an AR. So change is part of the Army's life. Sir, last week, the Army reactivated the 11th Airborne Division, Alaska. Can you explain the significance of and the importance of that? And what will that bring to the Army and to the soldiers of Alaska?
Yeah, I that was exciting for us. We got a chance to go up to Alaska, get some great soldiers up there, an airborne brigade and a striker brigade. But what we started to do is recognize the importance of the Arctic. So we need soldiers who are masters of their craft in Arctic warfighting. You know, those that can go into the most extreme weather, those that can go into high altitudes, those that can go into mountains. And that's what those soldiers are going to do. So we picked a patch. We wanted a patch of a unit with a history of valor and a history of innovation. And that's exactly what the 11th Airborne Division is all about. You know, very, very famous during World War II for fighting in the Pacific. So that makes a lot of sense. So they have a legacy they need to live up. But the other thing about the 11th Airborne Division, a lot of folks don't know, is they did a lot of work to develop the airborne techniques that we used before World War II. In fact, they did so much that they gave General Eisenhower the confidence we could actually pull off an airborne operation that happened later with the 82nd, the 101st, and D-Day. The other thing they did, again, I'm used to command the 101st Airborne Division. The 11th Airborne Division stood up as the first air assault division, and they developed all the tactics, techniques, and procedures.
Yes, sir.
Eventually became the first air cavalry division in Vietnam and did some incredible things. So we're kind of, you know, what I gave them is the mission, the call to action to do the same thing when it came to Arctic warfare. They will be resourced, they will be trained to be our premier Arctic warfighters.
Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time, when I came in the Army, we had 8 divisions. When I left the Army, we had 10. So I like to see a division coming back. You know, one of the things I was just thinking about, sir, when I served in the Army and as a Sergeant Major of the Army, what rank were you when I was in the Army, as a Sergeant Major of the Army? Chief, what rank were you?
I'm trying to think, probably what,
2004.
So you figure 2004-ish, I was a colonel. I was lieutenant colonel and then a colonel commanding in the 1st Cavalry Division.
You know, that just means, I'm still kicking, still moving. And then again, for the people that are listening today, we have the best Army in the world. And if you want to join the Army, you want to recruit into the Army, call a recruiter, do something. We love the Army. Sir and Sergeant Major, why should someone choose to serve in the United States Army?
Yeah, I would say it's a pathway to success, and you think about it, I look at myself and, again, I'm the son of a non-commissioned officer who, spent 3 years in the Navy and then worked at the Boston Gear Works for 49 and a half years. I remember when I was 16 years old, I was working for the Quincy Sewage Department and we were shoveling stuff that you wouldn't want to talk about. And I had and people inspired me to go to school when I got a chance to go to school and I had a chance to serve. But I know so many people, and you know this, Sergeant Major, you go around, you hear so many great stories where, people came and got a chance to go to school for their first time. They got training, they got discipline, they got skill sets. And I would argue that no matter whether you spend 2 years or 40 years, you want to do this. I had a chance to recognize the Soldier of the Year this year, and she was Kabul during the evacuation, just did some incredible stuff for the 82nd Airborne Division. And I asked her why she went in the Army. And what she said was she didn't want to leave this life without having an impact. And if you got a chance to serve, she's going to have an impact. And as we know, when I've had a chance, spent a lot of time in the 101st Airborne Division. I know a lot of the original Band of Brothers. And, to me, when you're older, and you and I fall into that category, Sergeant Major.
I'm probably a little bit older than you, but go ahead.
When your kids and your grandkids ask you what you did with your life, you pop out your chest, and say, I served my country. I served in the Army. And no matter where you go, what you do, no one can ever take that away from you.
One of the things that I tell people all the time, the successes I've had in life is because of the Army. Yeah. The Army, again, changed my life and saved me life, but it made me grow up and be a better man, a better citizen for this country. So I love the Army, and I think I'm just like a lot of other veterans. They want to do all they can to make our Army better, and they want to let it grow, and it gets better and better every year. There's no question about that. Sergeant Major, same question. What about, why should somebody join the Army, I guess?
Well, first of all, I would say when you were the Sergeant Major of the Army, I was a platoon sergeant at 2nd Ranger Battalion. So
there you go again. Well, I probably shouldn't have asked that question.
but I would agree with the chief's comments. I didn't want to look back in my life and regret not having served. But I think also to go along with that, volunteering to serve, but it's also volunteering to stay, and the commitment to retain our soldiers and our families. There's a lot of opportunity for our soldiers to serve. We've got, different career fields, and we have a lot of even reclassing opportunities right now for our soldiers. We still have about 6,000 soldiers eligible to reenlist, and we need those soldiers and families to stay committed, not just coming in and serving is fine. I agree with the chief, whether you do 3 or 30 years, you can look yourself in the eye for the rest of your life and, in the mirror and say, I'm a great American. But I also know we need those people to commit, and it's a family commitment. That's a commitment, not just as a service member, but the whole family.
There's something, there's a special bond of people that serve in the military, whether or not you serve 2 years or 20 years or 41 or 36 years like myself. And I tell people all the time that I can call somebody I haven't seen in 15 years, and it's like I talked to him yesterday. Chief, I wasn't going to ask you this question, but we got plenty of time. If you are the king in my book, you're the king, right? So if you was king for a day, what would you like to see the Army do in the future? I mean, what kind of changes or technology or equipment things would you like? And then Sergeant Major, same question for you. If you was king for the day, what really does the Army need? The other question is, how could veterans help you just a little bit more, especially when it comes to recruiting?
Well, you know, two things is one is I think we're going under the biggest transformation in 40 years. And I go back to you, Sergeant, you and I were around. I've been around a little over 40 years. Mm-hmm. When I take a look at the Army needs to transform every 40 years. It did in 1940 when General Marshall was running the Army right before World War II. And basically used that Army into the late 70s and early 80s. And when you and I were running around during that time frame, you think about it, that's when the all-volunteer force came in. That's mm-hmm. where earlier in battle happened. That's when really the major weapon systems we have, the Abrams tank, the Bradley, the Apache, the Blackhawk and Patriots, they all came into being. And now we find ourselves in past 2020, and we're doing the same thing in the Army right now. We're changing our doctrine from earlier in battle to multi-domain operations. We're building new organizations, the multi-domain task force, the Security Force Assistance Brigade. We're changing the way we train using artificial and augmented reality to help us train. But the big thing is you see, and Sergeant Major talked a little about six modernization priorities, your long-range fires, next-generation combat vehicle, future vertical lift, the network, air and missile defense, and soldier lethality. So we're bringing in a whole bunch of new systems for our soldiers to use and make sure that we maintain, you know, the best Army in the world. And having said that, the reason it's people first in the Army is we're in a war for talent. We want the best people to come into the Army. And all of a sudden, when you've been in units with the best people, you really can't beat it. There's no better when you have a cohesive team of great people. So we want great people to come in the Army. And we've got to recruit for them. We got to compete for them. They have a lot of talent. And just like the Sergeant Major said, is once they're in, we need to take care of them. And we got to make sure they're being treated with big respect. And we want them to stay, especially the really good ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Sergeant Major, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I completely agree with the Chief. I think it also goes along with Soldier for Life. You know, as we want folks to have a good message for the Army, you know, you asked what can former service members do for us. I think we've got to really work on the image of the Army and what it means to serve and how honorable of a profession that is. And, you know, whether it's career skills programs or, you know, how we treat people in the Army and how they leave, we want them to have a very positive perspective of the Army so that there are micro recruiters out there all across the nation that are communicating to those kids that coming in out of the grocery stores and stuff that are interacting with former service members. We need them to carry that message for us that serving is something that's rewarding and that you won't regret doing.
You know, you'd be surprised when you go out and I still talk Chief and Sergeant Major. I still talk to a lot of veteran communities and stuff. And every time I get into a conversation, somebody will say, they'll start talking to me about their time in the Army, what they did, what their assignments were. So there's a lot of people out there that's proud of the Army and they want to do all they can. I think the biggest problem sometimes is just getting those people to making contact with those people. It's hard because you got a real world merchants, a lot of things going on. You just can't reach out to them. And sometimes I wish there was a better way to, you know, to contact or connect with your retirement community. I know it's tough and, you know, but that's just the way it is. But you're a Chief and Sergeant Major, your veteran community absolutely loves the Army. So well, they'll do whatever they can to help you. No question about that.
No, we appreciate that, Sergeant. And really, we're doing some stuff. We're working with some organizations and we're hoping to get a network that we can bring all our veterans and soldiers for life together. And, you know, because a lot are still thirsty for information, you know, and a lot don't even know we need the help. And you know, what I'm trying to do is, and the Sergeant Major's trying to do is reach out to our soldiers for life, our retirees and veterans and say, hey, if you want to help, here's how you can help. And the reason I'm only giving them two things to do, inspire and hire, because they're retired or they're veterans. You can't give them three things. That would be too much. We just want to if they can only do one, what I want them to do is inspire. If they're too retired, just help us inspire young men and women, because I think they're missing a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that in the Army, you can do anything you want. You know, you can be anything you want to be in the Army.
Yes, sir.
You know, we have an old cliche about, you know, be all you could be. But, you know, it is true as can be. You can do anything you want in the Army, you know, from being an elite infantryman like the great combat ranger sitting next to me. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. You can be a pilot. You can do artificial intelligence. You can be a cyber coder. You name it. Anything you want to do, you can do it in the Army. We will train you. We will take care of you. and you'll have a pathway to set. No, by the way, you know, GI Bill, education benefits, early retirement, all those type things that go along with being in the Army.
Yeah. You know, I talk about the circle of life when I talk to a lot of people. You know, people stand in one circle, they never move. If you step out of that circle and go into the Army, it'll change your life. There's no question about that. It'll make you a better person, a better citizen, and it'll really set you up for the future. And again, any successes that I've had in life, I'm a small business owner and I do a lot of different things, but it's only because of the things that the Army and my parents and everything else, but the Army really sort of, you know, got me in the right focus, got me in the right frame of mind to get in the right direction there. You know, first of all, I'm going to say it's been great talking to both of you, and I want to be respectful of your time because you're a busy person. There's no question both of you are. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience, Chief, about it's just anything, table's yours, say what you want to say to connect with our veteran community.
Yeah, I just want to tell you a story because we did a cake cutting ceremony in the Pentagon today, and it was really pretty cool. We had all the troops in there, and they brought in the youngest soldier. And I look at the youngest soldier, he was 6'11". You're just an incredible young man. And so we get up there and talked about it. You know, we had all the senior leadership there. And I was talking about how great our soldiers were. And I go, you know, I'm not going to say can we have the youngest soldier please stand up? And this kid is just a great, you know, young kid.
Yeah.
11. I go, you know, I'm not going to say our soldiers are 10 feet tall, but they're pretty damn close. And
oh, wow. Sergeant Major, any final thoughts? Anything you want to share with the audience?
10 foot tall. I was standing next to him, and I'm 6'2", and I felt short. So,
well, I'm about 5'9 and a half, so everybody's tall compared to me. There you go.
The chief reenlisted 9 service members at that ceremony as well, all compos, guard, active in reserve. And, you know, as they're raising their hand to commit, you know, future service to our nation, I think it's a reminder to us all of, you know, raising that right hand is not something to be taken lightly. And, you know, whether, like I said, you know, that first enlistment coming off the street, or you've done it again and again, or you're watching people do it, it still touches my heart.
Yeah. I give little presentations every once in a while now, and I asked everybody to raise your hand and say, I will. And when they put their hand down, I said, hey, look, you know what the Army or the military does? They say, I'm willing to die for your freedoms. I'm willing to, you know, they're the ones that allow you to have all the freedoms that you have each and every day. So, you know, I love the Army. I love what you're doing. And again, not just for me, but really for all the veterans that are out there, we got your back. Now, let me just tell you something. I got something for you to do, Chief Sergeant Major. One little thing before you get out of here, and I know you want to get out of here. It's tradition in the Army now to cut the cake. So there's a couple rules here with me. You got to stay with me a little bit, right? Oh, no, I'm not going to make you do anything, but right here, I got my cake. I got my Army cake here, and just in a second, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and I want you to say happy birthday, Army, hooah, in a big pause. Now, you can't hold back. You got to be motivated, okay? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday, Army.
Hooah! I am pumped up. Oh, my goodness. Chief, Sergeant Major, thanks a lot for being with us today. Thanks a lot for what you do, and God bless you. Again, I'm not just saying that. I got your back. We got your back, and we'll do whatever we can. And we'd love to, Chief, every 6 months, come on a show. Talk to your veterans. Talk to the community, and allow us to be part of you, because we want to be part of the Army as a veteran community. God bless you.
Thanks, Sergeant Major, and thank you for your service. Really mean that. And thanks for continuing to serve as a soldier for life.
Amen. Absolutely. God bless you, sir. Have a great Army Day. Hooah! All right. Hey, I'm Jack Dilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching live stream of Your Next Mission podcast. And if you aren't pumped up, something's wrong with you. We asked all the veterans and soldiers and families to help us celebrate our Army's birthday by posting something motivating, inspiring, or from about their Army, or even singing the Army song like me. I sung the Army song, and I got a lot of responses. Some of them probably not so good. But the responses have really been amazing. And thanks to everyone for participating. And now we like to recognize the most spirited post. The Maneuver Center of Excellence at Fort Benning and the Armor School on the 194th. As we head into our break, here's why they won.
Good morning. From Maneuver Center of Excellence, Fort Benning, Georgia, we here at the Armor School and the 194th Armored Brigade would like to wish the Army a happy birthday by giving them a serenade of the Army song. Happy birthday, Army.
March along, sing a song with the Army of the Free. Count the brave, count the true, who have fought to victory. We're the Army and proud of our name. We're the Army and proudly proclaim. First to fight for the right and to build the nation's might. And the Army goes rolling along. Proud of all we have done, fighting till the battle's won. And the Army goes rolling along. And it's high, high day, the Army's on its way. Count off the cadence of its roar. For wherever we go, you will always know that the Army goes rolling along.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by The Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for five straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. What a great day this has been. And thanks again to General McConville and Sergeant Major Alverson for being with us today. And I'm going to tell you, I'm so pumped up talking to the Chief and talking to Sergeant Major and just thinking about all the people that I met in the United States Army and all the family members that that are very special to me. And I'm certainly sure special to you. So, again, God bless you. God bless this great Army. And don't forget, we're motivated to help the Chief out and do all we can. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.